Suns Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Washington Mystics, who won their first Women's National Basketball Association championship. The Mystics beat the Connecticut Sun 3-2 to win the WNBA Finals. The AP's Craig Heist reports a Mystics player from Belgium is the WNBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
Emma Messelman led four players in double figures with 22 points to earn MVP honors as the Mystics won their first ever WNBA championship by beating the Connecticut Sun 89-78. Elena Deladon had 21 points and 9 rebounds.
I don't even have words for it. This is just so special. We've got such a great group. Coach has literally done everything under the sun as a coach, but to be the team, to be a player that was able to bring him this, my goodness, this feels so good.
Christy Tolliver chipped in with 18.
There's two ways you can go. You can feel sorry for yourself, feel like, man, why me? How come it didn't go our way? Or you can regroup and you can really be determined for greatness. And this team was determined for greatness.
The Mystics trailed by 2 after 3 quarters, but then outscored the Sun 27-14 in the 4th. Jonquel Jones led the Sun with 25 points, while Alyssa Thomas had 21 points and 12 rebounds. I'm Craig Heist.
Thanks, Craig. Let's listen in now to the WNBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award presentation here in Washington.
Okay. The moment you've been waiting for. We had so much talent on the court, so much talent, but we do have to pick one MVP. So averaging 18 points a game in these finals, almost 5 rebounds a game, 22 points tonight, and she did it all series off the bench. Emma Messelman, your MVP.
I was not thinking as a missing piece. I'm just a teammate from them, and I'm just going to do whatever I could to help my team to win the championship. So this is my family right now. You know, I'm just so glad that I could share this with them.
That's Emma Messelman of the Washington Mystics, the most valuable player of the 2019 WNBA Finals. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Arsenal and Gabon football star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who was named the English Premier League's Player of the Month for September. Aubameyang bagged 5 goals in 4 league appearances for the Gunners of Arsenal last month, including a late free kick to win against Aston Villa. So far this season, Aubameyang has 7 goals, putting him 1 behind the Premier League's joint top scorers, Tammy Abraham of Chelsea and Sergio Aguero of Manchester City. Meanwhile, Liverpool's German tactician Jurgen Klopp was named the Premier League's Manager of the Month for the 2nd consecutive month. Klopp has guided the Reds of Liverpool to a perfect start with 8 consecutive victories. Liverpool is 8 points ahead of 2nd place Man City and 9 points ahead of 3rd place Arsenal. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off in Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. World defending champion, Brazil, 5-time African champion, Senegal, host Nigeria and England have all confirmed their participation at the 2019 Copa Lagos Beach Soccer Tournament. Organizers Shola Ayipeku and Shei Akiomi both agreed that the beach soccer tournament will serve as preparations for the World Championships scheduled for November 21st to December the 1st, 2019.
Nigeria needs to be able to pair up with these teams to get ready for the World Cup. You and I know what's going on with regarding preparations, but this for us is also part of the national service that, look, let's give the Nigerian Sand Eagles an opportunity to be competitively prepared.
Where we are today is very far from where we're coming from.
And now to cricket news. Marizani Karp's half century was not just enough to rally the South African national female national cricket team, the Proteas women, after a poor start as they fell to an 8-wicket loss to India in game 1 of their 3-match one-day international series in Vandodora. Sune Louise is South Africa cricket women captain.
I think it's just a mindset first of all, and then having a plan to where you want to score against what bowler. That really worked for me today.
And finally, Liberia on Wednesday defeated Chad 1-0 in Monrovia in the first leg of the 2021 African Cup of Nations qualifiers preliminaries. Malaysian-based forward Kipar Sherman scored the only goal of the match in the 43rd minute. The second leg is expected to be played on Sunday in the Chadian capital in N'Djamena. Prior to Wednesday encounter, Liberian President George Weah took up time to train with his country team.
I came here today to train. I love to train, and I think it's a perfect occasion to train with the national team. Let's just give my own advice to let them know that we believe in them. What they do, they should take it serious, because they never know what they lead to.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Ida Peterson, former Super Eagles goalkeeper, former Morocco Swallows goalkeeper. I want to say a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenya's Olympic champion and world record holder Eliud Kipchoge will attempt to run the first sub-2-hour marathon on Saturday. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last year, Eliud Kipchoge shattered the world record in Berlin, and now he's in Vienna, where he is one day away from making history as the first athlete athlete to break the two-hour barrier. Ahead of his race, the Kenyan runner said his attempt at a milestone is like landing on the moon.
Running Pauline and running Fiona are two different things. Pauline is running and breaking a world record. Fiona is running and making history in this world, like the first man to go to the moon.
Kipchoge is gearing up for the Ineos 159 Challenge, his second attempt at running a sub-2-hour marathon. He made his first attempt 2 years ago, but missed the mark by a mere 26 seconds. This time, Kipchoge has selected a 41-man pacing squad, and he says he's also selected the perfect location to make history.
Fiona is a sporting city. It's a very cool and old. The crowd loves the sport in Vienna. The course in Vienna actually is purely flat. It's fast. It's in the park whereby you're enjoying a natural environment.
Because the 159 Challenge is not an open competition and a pacing squad will be used, Kipchoge's time will not be recognized as an official record. But the runner says his goal is simply to do what no other athlete has done before. And he says he's digging deep into his African roots to achieve the seemingly impossible.
So I'm trying to stay as calm as possible for any pressure which comes in. And this race actually means a lot to my country and my continent in Africa, that it's about actually telling people that there is nobody who sets the limits, and only limits are happening in their minds. It's not actually something tangible, it's just happening in your thoughts. So what I'm doing is that I'm trying to just remove that click in their minds that no human is limited.
Kipchoge says he's been thinking about running a sub-2-hour marathon since the Rio Olympics in 2016. And whether or not he is successful on Saturday, the 34-year-old Olympic champion is sure to defend his marathon gold medal at next year's Tokyo Olympics. Track and field has been a firm fixture at the Summer Olympics since its inception in 1896. But in 2020, sporting events that include skateboarding, climbing, and surfing will make their Olympic debut in Tokyo. And International Surfing Association President Fernando Aguirre has issued a warning of sorts. Old traditional sports had better keep up, or they'll soon be a thing of the past.
Well, those sports need to adapt. President Bach is very clear about that from the first speech he made when he accepted his election. He said, change or be changed. And, you know, the evolution of species is the story of the ones that change or the ones that didn't change. They're nowhere to be found.
Non-traditional sports were added in next year's games as part of the IOC's bid to reach a younger audience. And since 1994, Aguirre has made a strong push for surfing's inclusion at the Olympics. Well, 4 years ago, IOC President Thomas Bach gave Aguirre the okay that he was cleared to ride the Olympic wave. Aguirre says surfing deserves a place on the world stage, and some of the more traditional sports could learn a thing or two from his sport.
There's a lot of waves with short periods, which are waves that are much harder to predict. I was talking to some of the surfers that came in. I said, when you get a good one, it's amazing, but it was a little bit of a gambling, like reading the waves. And I think reading the waves is a hugely important skill for surfers. No? It's what you do every day. You're scrutinizing the horizon and the ripples, and is that wave going to go to the right, to the left? Where are the other guys paddling? So it's a constant evaluation of the field. It's like if you are a runner and you're constantly having to look at the floor moving, it's like and maybe not being there. So competitive surfing involves a lot of skills, not just the athletic performance skills.
Well, you can catch the wave at next year's Tokyo Olympics, and it's been announced that surfing, along with climbing, skateboarding, and breakdancing, have all been provisionally confirmed for inclusion at the Paris Summer Olympics in 2024. And that is all from me for today and for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooh. Putin. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Rugby World Cup action Friday, Australia defeated Georgia 27-8 at the Shizuoka Stadium in Japan. The Wallabies of Australia are two-time Rugby World Cup champions, and they're through to the quarterfinals from Pool D with Wales. Like the Wallabies, the Springboks of South Africa are two-time world champions, and they're also through to the quarterfinals. The South Africans will face the winner of Pool A on October 20th in Tokyo. And right now, it looks like the host Japanese could be their opponent. I know many South Africans will be cheering on their beloved Springboks in that quarterfinal match. And I know a few fans will be cheering at a barbershop in the Johannesburg area. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Darren Taylor tells us more.
You haven't seen me drop from the I'm already done for home.
Silver-haired and always smiling, Benny Buertus has cut generations of men's hair in his shop in the working-class Johannesburg suburb of Newlands.
Die mense in die area is baie arm.
A client chats with Buertus as others wait their turn for a haircut. Among them, a burly bearded mechanic wearing oil-stained boots and the suited multi-millionaire owner of a shopping mall. What attracts such a diverse clientele is an amazing collection of rugby paraphernalia. On the walls and ceilings are thousands of autographed rugby jerseys, caps, pens, scarves, balls, glasses, flags, all hunted down by Buertus or donated to him by rugby fans across the world. The barber says his obsession with all things rugby started with a friend's joke almost 50 years ago.
He said, why doesn't you start making it not only a plain barber shop? And from that day, it's just growing and growing and growing.
Buertus' rugby gear overflows into the back of his shop and his nearby house. Over the years, Buertus has cut many Springbok legends' hair. They, too, were happy to donate valuable memorabilia.
Like when Pete Malong, he died now, a month ago. I was honest to know him very well. Fanny King, beautiful rugby players, good rugby players. Then my oldest Transvaal player, Tini Matthysen.
One of his favorite items is a 19th century rugby ball from England, a massive leather-laced oval about three times the size of a modern ball. Buertus says his business just looks like a barbershop when it's actually South Africa's only true rugby museum.
My book collection is from 1818, from the start of rugby. That's the oldest, is that book, and then I got the photo there from 1913 of the Springboks.
Then he gestures towards a green bottle covered in dust. Its label is falling apart, but on it is the famous symbol of South African rugby, a jumping Springbok antelope.
And then I got the bottle of wine. He's more than 100 years of Transvaal.
Open it.
No. I can give you a glass of water, but not my wine.
Buertus' colleague, Louis de Hart, says many rugby fans, men, women, and children, visit Benny's not for a haircut, but just to talk rugby and to stare in wonder at the memorabilia.
They all, like, have a debate about teams, and sometimes they quite a bit of an argue, not like physical, but that happens a lot, yeah.
Sailing up, playing very deep, maybe a little bit too deep to cut off.
It's a Saturday afternoon, and some of Buertus' die-hard patrons watch a local rugby game on TV inside the barbershop. At times like these, they often share their fondest rugby memories. Peter Wilson remembers his first schoolboy rugby game in the 1940s.
I was so stupid. I was a front ranker. I took the ball
And when the chap came rushing to me, I threw the ball over his head and ran around him to catch it again. I didn't even know about the forward pass. I made a proper idiot of myself.
At Benny's, there's cautious optimism about the Springboks' chances of capturing an unprecedented third Rugby World Cup title.
What I always say, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Outside his shop, Buertus fires up the barbecue on the pavement and the party starts. Naturally, with a CD of some of South Africa's most loved rugby tunes.
What it feels like to dummy into sidestep with a leather ball in your hand.
Back inside, Buertus gazes at a faded photo. It's Loftus Versfeld Stadium, Pretoria, 1968. And Springbok scrum half Davie de Villiers has just scored a try to destroy the British Lions. The barber whispers, "Do it again, boys. Do it again." Darren Taylor for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, welterweight champion Errol Spence is awake and responding in the intensive care unit of a hospital in Dallas, Texas, after crashing his car early Thursday morning. Police say Spence lost control of his white Ferrari while traveling at a high rate of speed. His car flipped over several times, and Spence, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was ejected from the vehicle. He is listed in stable condition at that Dallas hospital with no broken bones or fractures, but Spence did suffer broken teeth and facial lacerations. In a statement, his family said he's expected to make a full recovery. The 29-year-old Spence defeated fellow American Sean Porter September 28th in Los Angeles, California, to retain his IBF welterweight title and capture Porter's WBC belt. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Maweda, was ringside for Spence Porter and described the bout as a fight of the year candidate. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If our VOA listeners check out my Facebook page, they'll see a photo of the front page of Friday's Washington Post newspaper, which shows Elena Delladon and the Washington Mystics celebrating their first Women's National Basketball Association Championship. My Facebook friend Shirley Kefalis is a big Mystics fan, and Shirley wrote, "Sonny, I was jumping up and down, yelling and clapping when the Washington Mystics won the championship. I was filled with joy, Sonny, and I had tears streaming down my face." Tears of joy for the Washington Mystics after they captured their first WNBA title. And that wraps up the October 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell. I've got a wonderful Pan-African playlist of exciting music from 13 different countries. Song of the week is Ungoni Bwelezera by Lulu from Malawi. Samet Gaida from Diamond FM 93.7 in Tamale, Ghana. He brings us an interview with reggae man Black Rasta.
Black Rasta is a conscious Pan-Africanist, a lecturer, and at the same time a radio presenter.
And my vintage feature is Nyanja xylophone music from 1957. Wow! You can listen while you work, while you drive, or while you do nothing at all but listen. Tune in with me on Music Time in Africa this Saturday and Sunday at 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Export-Import Bank strives to increase the continent's share in global trade and promote growth. Afrexibank and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
It's been long thought that people who smoke five or less cigarettes a day have less lung damage than those who smoke a pack to a couple of packs a day. A new study led by researchers at New York's Columbia University suggests even light smokers can experience long-term lung damage. Study leader Dr. Elizabeth Olsner, MD, an assistant professor at Columbia, says many people assume that smoking a few cigarettes a day isn't so bad. But her research team found only a small difference in the loss of lung function between those who smoke five cigarettes a day to smokers who go through two packs a day. The study also provides evidence contrary to the assumption that it only takes a few years for lung function to return to normal levels after smokers quit. Compared to someone who never smoked, it can take at least 30 years for an ex-smoker to reach normal lung function levels. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo. Join your